your body. Every brain cell, nerve cell, muscle cell, skin cell, bone cell, blood cell. You need to speak to every cell in your body and say, now body, get in line with the word of God. Because God says, I'm healed. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Saints of God, we have some weapons. And I'm just here to tell you that these weapons work. Because I use these weapons on a daily basis, I use them. You know, we have benefits. You know, they are extraordinary benefits. And they're beneficial to us. But somehow, we look at what Satan is doing, and we believe him more than we believe what God is doing. We look at that cancer tearing people up and causing people to die prematurely, and we think, oh, God can't do anything with this. We watch people suffer and suffer and suffer, and then they die, and we just think, well, God must be a mean God. And then those of us that know that he's not mean, we just won't say nothing. Because we don't know what the problem is. But I'm going to tell you what the problem is. God wants us to use these weapons that he has given us. You know, he wants us to use these weapons to bring down Satan. You know, and Satan is trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. So God wants us to use these spiritual weapons to bring down Satan. Until all his mess, you know, turns into blessings for us. This is what God wants us to do, saints. Now, how are we going to do this? We're going to take the weapons that God has given us, and we're going to begin to use these weapons. And see, these weapons is not, we can't use them just by looking at them and reading them and studying them. Some people know all what the helmet is. They know what the sword of the spirit is. They know what the breastplate of righteousness is. But they have yet to use it. They have yet to put it to use. You cannot use a Porsche. If somebody drive a Porsche up out in your driveway, put the keys in there, put the deed, the title, everything is paid for, and a full tank of gas, and then they may give you $1,000 or $2,000 for gasoline for the next year or so. How many know if they put all that out there and they tell you this is yours, you never go out in that driveway and move that Porsche and begin to use it like it's yours? How many know it won't do you any good? Well, that's just the way the word of God is. He's given us the word. He's given us every way to use this word. He's shown us how to fight with the weapons. He's shown us how to kill with these weapons. We can kill and destroy every evil work of the enemy with these weapons. He has given us power and authority to do so. But how many know if you don't take the weapons up and begin to exercise and begin to put action to the word, it will not profit us anything. So we're going to continue on this subject for the rest of the week and probably next week. And we're going to see if we can't get you to using these weapons. Amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT.
praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And thou shalt bring forth a son, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus sent to save. Jesus sent to save. That was the mission of Jesus to planet Earth, to restore the people of God back to God. He was sent here to save by any means necessary. Therefore, he was born to die. And make no mistake about it, unlike us, he knew his purpose before he ever got to planet Earth, and accepted it willingly so that he might do the will of his heavenly Father. Now, this is our traditional Christmas story, and we're excited about Christmas and all of the wonderful things that Christmas brings, the presents and the festivities, etc. But the real message of Christmas is that Jesus was sent to save. And I want to deal with that and delve in that a little bit, and hopefully we'll make just a little impact upon your hearts and minds concerning this, because it's important for us to recognize, again, how God moved methodically, thoughtfully, clearly through this process to get Jesus here to do what he was sent to do. Matthew takes us back to the beginning of Abraham. Abraham and he who was a heathen from a heathen Gentile nation was proven faithful to God, worthy of God's friendship, and his faithfulness was counted as righteousness. He became again the father of many nations because of his faithfulness. And when you look at this, Matthew takes it and breaks it down like this: from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the carrying away to Babylon is 14 more generations. From the carrying away of Babylon to Christ, again, are 14 generations. Matthew walks through 42 generations, and if you don't believe it, just go back to verse 1 and you'll see where he talks about this. And he talks about Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat, you get the message, don't you? and walk on through that if you want to, but you're going to end up at Jesus. Now listen at this, because what I want you to hear and understand is the fact that when they got to this point, the Bible says in verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When Mary, as his mother, was espoused or engaged to Joseph to be married to him, she was found pregnant with Jesus, but it was no dealings with man or mankind. It was of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph was considered a just man, a good man, and for good reasons, because his engaged wife, fiance, and let me say this to you, just throwing this out parenthetically, when one was espoused in the Jewish marital system, that was the legal part of marriage. In other words, they were already married, but they did not have the ceremony celebration. In other words, when they were espoused or engaged, it was a legal process. Licenses were signed, commitments were made. The law recognized them belonging to one another. If Joseph would have died before the wedding day, which was usually 1 year from the time they signed the license, Mary would have been a widow, even though she had not had the wedding ceremony nor slept with her husband. That's how binding the engagement was. So that was the legal part of marriage. The wedding celebration was the fun part that came later. And so Joseph now has already signed the papers. He has already made known, Mary is my espoused wife. Everybody knows Mary belongs to him. If Mary shows up pregnant, who are you going to think they're going to think made Mary pregnant? Now, Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. He didn't want that on his conscience, on his reputation. So he thought about putting her away privately, not making a public spectacle out of her. But the Bible says, in a dream, the angel came and stood by him and said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary as thy wife. The thing that's going on with her, in other words, is of the Holy Ghost. It is a supernatural thing. It is not man-made. When Joseph hears this, and this is important, it is what gave him the peace of mind to know that this was of God, because God knew his thoughts, God knew what he was going to do, and so he hurriedly sends an angel there to minister to him, and thank God for that. Listen to this. What I am not clear about is who the angel was. In Luke, the Bible says the angel was Gabriel. Gabriel came to Zechariah, stood on the right side of the altar, declared, I am Gabriel who stand in the presence of the Lord, and told Zechariah that he would have a son, his name would be John, and all of that. He and Elizabeth would have a child, and then he moves on 6 months later to Mary. He tells Mary she's going to have a baby without a husband, and she doesn't know how this is going to happen, so he explains it to her. Then he says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy words. In other words, I'm not doubting what you say. I just want to know how this is going to be. So now that I understand, let it be, let it be, let it be. Now, but Matthew doesn't say who it is. So when I go back in my frame of reference, when I recognize God sent Gabriel to make the annunciation and the announcement that the Son of God was coming to this world, he made the announcement that the forerunner who would prepare the way of the Lord, John, was coming in this world. It just seemed to make sense that he would have also spoken with Joseph, but the Bible doesn't say that. So one of the things I do realize is that there are classes and ranks of angels. There are only three chief archangels. Michael is a chief archangel, but he's the chief archangel of war. When God needs somebody to go down, he's over all the warring angels and all those. When he needs somebody to step in and do something, he lets Michael handle it, and he or those under him will handle the situation. So most likely, he didn't send Michael. He didn't send Raphael. Raphael is another archangel, chief angel. Why didn't he send Raphael? Because the word Raphael means healing God. Raphael means God. It means the angel of the healing God. What, nobody sick? I couldn't see God sending him down to tell Mary or Joseph about this news. It makes sense that he sent Gabriel, but if it wasn't Gabriel, it was somebody under his command. And I've learned if the word don't major in it, then I won't major in it also. The word says an angel. We're going to leave it at that. But listen at this. The angel comes now, and the angel tells him this story. But look at what else the angel does. The angel says, she shall bring forth a son. And then he says to him, thou, Joseph, shalt call his name Jesus. Now look at again how order is maintained, how structure is maintained. We told you in the Jewish custom on the eighth day, the man, the father, gave the name to the child. Even though Gabriel told Mary all about Jesus and what his name was, he made sure the angel to tell Joseph what his name was and said that thou shalt call his name Jesus. So on the eighth day, he would have the right, even though he didn't participate in Jesus' coming here, he would have the right as his earthly father to name him. So Joseph has the privilege of naming the baby Jesus, although it was already given by God and prophesied. Now notice here what he also tells him. For he shall save his people from their sins. I'm going to come back to save for just a moment. I want to deal with his people from their sins. One of the things that we must be clear and understand was that Jesus was designed to come back to the house of Israel. He was designed to come back to the Jews, God's favorite people, his chosen people, not to everybody else, but to the Jews. But listen at this. When he came to the Jews decided they didn't want him, that he was not the one they were looking for. And John says in chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. So what does that say? First of all, it says that Jesus came back for his ministry to the Jews. But listen at this. That the Jews were his object of ministry. Object of ministry. That was his focus. That was his purpose. You remember when the woman came and she was begging for the crumbs that fell from the man's table, and she tried to reason with Jesus, and he said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. She said, but yeah, the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from his table. She went to telling him, wait a minute, I might not be the chosen one, but I am somebody. And Jesus heard that, because Jesus knew he had brought bread for the children. But if the children didn't want the bread, he wasn't going to let the bread go to waste. Now listen at this, because what is important about this is the fact that, again, Jesus tried to minister to his own, but they would not receive it. So since they rejected him, the gift that he had was too great to take back to glory. So what he did was he chose to include whosoever will. And that opened up the opportunity for all who would accept Jesus to become a part now of this salvific experience. He would now save anybody who wanted to be saved, whether they were Jewish or not. Why? Well, let's back up to the name Jesus. The name Jesus literally means save or savior. You see, the whole point of Jesus coming down here was to save. And here's what you need to know. He was going to save somebody. It was in him. It was who he was. It was what he did. He was going to save somebody, even if his own people did not want to be saved. So he then took the opportunity to extend it beyond his people. As a story, and I want you to hear this, because this pretty much sums up what I'm trying to say. I was a young girl who had spent several Christmases with her grandmother, and she had observed her grandmother's practices. Her grandmother would always have many presents under the Christmas tree, and everybody's name she could think of would be on those presents. And the little girl asked the grandmother, "Grandmother, when did you get these presents?" The grandmother said, "Well, right after Christmas is over, when the big sales come on, I go shopping. And then every holiday that come by and they have a big sale, I go shopping. And all through the year, I pick up little gifts here and there, good gifts that I get at a great discount. And I go on and I wrap them up and I put a name tag on them." And the young girl noticed that she had some presents there, and noticed that one of the gifts where the person's name was on it had died. And another person had fallen out with her grandmother. And she had noticed on one Christmas, several folk came by who did not have presents underneath the tree, because they came unexpected. And so as they came unexpectedly, the little girl asked her grandmother, "Grandmother, how can you buy these gifts so far in advance and not knowing what will happen all the way back till the next Christmas?" The grandmother said, "Well, baby, that's easy. What I do is I get extra tags." And if somebody should happen to die, the present is still good. So I take that tag off, and I go in my drawer full of tags and get another tag and write somebody else's name on it and put that on the present. If somebody acts up with me and get mad and don't want to be bothered with me, I take that name off and go back into my drawer of tags and put on it somebody else's name. If I get some folk that I love and I just forgot about and they show up, what I do is get some presents that I've already gotten and I've had the opportunity to know what they are, I bring them in the back and I remove the tag off of them and put their name on it and bring it from the back, and they think it's a special. When all I did was change the tag. And she said, how did you get this knowledge? The old lady said, from church. The young girl said, what do you mean from church? She said, well, the preacher was preaching. He was talking about the man had prepared a banquet. And those guests who were supposed to come to the banquet didn't show up. So he sent his stewards out to go and compel men and women to come to the banquet, that the banquet was ready for whosoever will. So he took their name tags off the table and put those who came in from here and there on that table. And he said the food was too good to let go to waste. And he said, well, that's what Jesus did when he came to his own, and his own would not receive him. The gift of salvation was too great to let him go back to glory. So he took the names of the Jews who would not receive him, and he put my name, and he put your name, and he put whosoever will name on the gift. Oh, don't sit here and act like you are always the one who got the first choice. A whole lot of you are here because somebody else messed up. Don't sit here looking like you all of that. You somebody else's second choice, third choice, fifth choice. Oh, y'all gonna act all funny with me. But oh, if the gift is good, all you got to do is take the name tag off, put another one on, and the gift is good right on. Somebody shout glory. Thank God for Jesus, whose gift is too good to let go to waste. That's why he says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life. Hallelujah.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.